Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
You are now live with the digital world right here on Freedom 106.5. You know, every single Friday, the Freedom 106.5 turns into the digital world with myself, Karen Rose, and my co-host, Janine Jinjin Edwards. Now, you know, it's Carnival, and Janine has been on this scene heavy. So she has been knocking from events to events. So at some point, she's going to join us, but right now she's at an event hosting as well, right? So I'm going to be holding it down. But you know what? I decided I don't feel like doing this alone this week, right? And you know what? My baby cousin is in town, and I decided, you know what? This girl is doing her thing in media. I see she big up on YouTube and she's doing her thing. You know what? I think the Roses could hold it down for the Friday. And then when Janine comes in and our special guest for this episode come in, we're going to have some more fun. So please, I want you guys to give it up for my cousin, Miss Maya Noel. Hello, Maya.
Hello, everyone. It is such an honor to be on this show today. I am from America, but both of my parents were born in Trinidad and Tobago.
Hey.
Finally decided to come back after 8 years, so I'm really excited to be on the show today.
Wow. 8 years. You know, when we were talking offline and you said 2015, I was like, it felt like I've seen you 2 years ago, but the time has gone by so fast.
Yes.
That, yeah, it really was 2015.
Yeah.
You know, so how have you been enjoying? When did you land? You guys landed when?
I landed on, I think it was Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday, way late at night, because the customs line, the immigration line, it was like 2 hours. We were there for like 2 hours.
Wow. Listen, yeah. If you are listening to the program and you are coming into Trinidad, let me know if you guys had a long wait at the airport, or even if, you know, you live here, but you're picking up family and friends and they had a long wait. Let me know. You guys could call in and share your airport experiences at 627-3223. That's 627-3223 or 625-2257. 625-2257. Or you can WhatsApp us. You can shoot us a WhatsApp message at 306-106. Let us know how your airport experience has been, if you have flown in or you have been waiting for your friends and family. So, Maya, what have you done so far that you've now come back home and touched down in TNT?
Well, it's been a busy last couple of days. Yesterday, we went to, what was it called, Pavement Lime.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Went there. It took about 30 minutes to find parking, wow. Another 30 minutes to walk through the crowd of people. But it was very much worth it. I got a few videos and got to enjoy it. So,
yeah.
You know, my dad and my parents, they're very excited. I got to experience the culture.
Yeah.
Because I definitely need that.
Yes,
living
yes,
in Arizona
yes.
is you know, there's not a huge Caribbean population over there.
Yeah.
So I got to go to college on the East Coast, and there is actually where I got more Caribbean exposure.
Where did you go to college?
Bowie State University in Maryland.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so there's a bigger Caribbean population in Maryland.
Yeah. You know, it's closer to New York. It's like a 3-hour drive. So,
right.
You know, most Caribbeans either go to Florida or they go to New York. No one goes to Arizona. So I was like, you know, let me go on that side and experience more of that.
Yeah, thankfully, when we left here, when I was a baby, we went to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So thankfully, we ended up in Toronto. Matter of fact, we were in Montreal first.
Okay.
And we spent like, I think it was like 6 months to a year. I got to ask my mom, but like 6 months to a year. I was a baby, so it didn't really matter. And then we moved to Toronto, and thank goodness, because I can't do Montreal cold. It's even colder in Montreal than it is in Toronto. And thankfully, Toronto has such a huge, diverse, multicultural. It's very multicultural in Toronto. So we had a big Caribbean population.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was amazing to have, because I grew up with more Jamaicans than Trinis, but we had all of the other islands there. So, like, going to fets was always fun. One of my fondest memories is always every time a big fet happens, especially in the summertime, everybody would park up in the parking lot, and every person that is from a different island would bring the rum of their respective country. So we would make a Caribbean tour in the parking lot. So you go and drink some Saint Vincent rum, then you go in. Well, I like to skip the Jamaican rum. I'm not really a big fan of Jamaican rum. But then we get some... You go to Barbados, you get some Bajan rum. So I love the fact that, you know, Toronto is so multicultural. So, you know, when you're talking about Arizona and not having that big crib, I would have cried.
Yeah, I think we knew, like, maybe two other Trini families.
Wow.
I mean, there would be, like, Jamaican restaurants and stuff, but far from us, like, at least a 40-minute drive. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen, 40-minute drive for yeah. some jerk?
Yeah.
Was the jerk good?
It depends. Like, there were like two Caribbean restaurants we would go to, and they have international markets and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as if you were living on the East Coast where you have more access to those things.
Right.
So, you know, I was a little out of touch. So when I came here, I was way younger. I came yeah. a couple times. I was like 4.
Yeah.
And then I think I was a baby. Then I came when I was 15. Now I'm 22, so I can actually
do
experience
stuff.
Things and see it. I'm old enough to actually go to the parties. So I'm right. excited about that.
Right,
yeah.
right, right. No, listen, that is dope. Did you get some doubles this yet?
No, but I did have roti the first day.
Hey.
The first day.
What'd you get? What'd you order?
You know, I don't even know what was in it,
you
but
don't
I
know?
Ate it. And then we got KFC yesterday. That I always love to try that again because the chicken is actually seasoned. I would never eat KFC in America, ever. That's people get sick eating that in America. Listen, over here, it's a huge difference. It tastes really good.
Nah, it's a big difference. And depending on who you talk to, Royal Castle is better than KFC, depending on who you talk to. So, you know what you got to do? You got to get some Royal Castle now, right? You got to
okay.
get some Royal Castle. Royal Castle has their famous pepper sauce as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get some ketchup, mustard, pepper sauce with your Royal Castle. And then you can judge, are you a KFC girl or are you a Royal Castle girl? Since I've been here, this is my 9th year in Trinidad, when you come on vacation, it was always KFC.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I ain't touching Canadian KFC, not for nothing. When we used to have Toonie Tuesdays, $2 Tuesdays, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when KFC had that, I would have eaten KFC a lot more, but it also tasted better back then. But KFC got more expensive, and Toonie Tuesdays was no longer a thing, and the quality of the KFC went downhill. So I stopped eating KFC altogether, but I would eat it when I came here. But now that I live here, I almost never eat KFC.
What?
Yeah. It's Royal Castle. Royal Castle, or if anybody is familiar with the Curup area, TNT Chicken. TNT Chicken in Curup, I think they have some really good fried chicken over there too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we gotta get you some. Maybe on the way back home we'll stop and get some Royal Castle.
Okay.
Or if you're feeling for something else. But definitely you gotta get some doubles.
Yeah.
Because our doubles have you had doubles in the States?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Nope.
Listen, I know people probably heard that and they're like, this is blasphemy. Where are these two Yankees coming from on the Trini Airways? But listen, this is good, right? So you haven't had doubles in the States?
No.
Wow. We, in Toronto, there was like 3 Caribbean restaurants that had doubles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our doubles is so different than the doubles here. So when I'd get doubles from our place in Toronto, the barra, the skin is
yeah.
really thick, right? Versus down here, it's a lot thinner, and it's the doubles here, the chana and the stuff that they put in it is like very saucy, versus back in Toronto, it's thick. So they would literally take an ice cream scoop and they're scooping out the chana and the potato and stuff like that. And it was like a nice, thick sandwich, right? So I thought that's what doubles was. Until I moved here and our cousin L.A., shout outs to L.A., L.A. took me to Sauce Doubles in Curup. And when they put it together, I was like, yo, bro, what is this? the bar was thin. It's so saucy that it's running down your... I'm like, I don't even know the mechanics, the physics of how to eat this doubles. I did not know. So I'm literally watching him eat his doubles. I'm like, bro, I can't. Like, I can't do it. So every time I would get doubles now, I do it to this day. I tell them, hey, even if I'm going to eat it on the spot, I'll say I'm taking it to go. Wrap it. That way I can eat it like a pita. So we got to catch you on film eating some doubles and just watching you struggle doing that.
I mean, when I was eating the roti, Tanya was telling me, my sister Tanya, She was telling me that I was eating it wrong. I was supposed to bite into it like a burrito. I was using like my fingers and just breaking it up and eating it. And so I didn't see all the filling inside. So was it wrapped
when you got it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got a dalpri. So dalpri will usually come. They'll wrap it up. Mm-hmm. They'll usually wrap it up. And then if you get a bus-up shot, the bus-up shot is like...
That's what I'm
ripped.
Used to.
Right.
My mom
there
makes
you
that
go.
At home.
Correct.
I was eating it like that. And Tanya was like, what
are
you
doing?
I was like, oh, I didn't know you're supposed to eat it like that.
Listen, folks. This is real. And I don't think... if you've never traveled, because we still have a lot of people who've never left Trinidad, and we have a lot of people who've never left the Caribbean.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world when you hit the U.S. or when you hit Canada or when you hit the U.K. We don't have the luxuries of all of these things growing up, you know.
Yeah.
So when we finally come face to face with our real roti, our real doubles, it's like, yo, what are the mechanics behind eating this thing, right?
Yeah.
But it's so delicious.
It was good, though.
It was good.
It was very good.
Uh-huh. That's wonderful, man. You know, we were talking offline. So today I wanted to, because it's carnival and we know everybody is flying in, this is the mother of all carnivals. People are finally, you know, happy to just be able to experience carnival after that 2-year hiatus, right? And one of the key issues that I was already seeing before carnival happened, I was already thinking about all of the food vendors or vendors that are going to be coming out, setting up shop, and they're going to be selling. And it hit me that I know the majority of them are not set up to really and truly do commerce with the foreign market. And what do I mean by that? Everybody is looking to set up shop and accept cash. But Maya, you're from Arizona. When you purchase street food and goods, how do you make your purchases when you're in Arizona?
Digital. We hardly ever use cash. I like to use my credit card or my debit card because no one wants to carry around, you know, a whole wad of cash.
Right.
So it's easier to just do it digitally. Or if you don't have the money, you'll have a friend that's there and you use, what do you call it? Well, in America, we call it like something like Cash App or Venmo to basically transfer money digitally.
Yeah.
So online banking is very important when it comes to shopping in America.
Mm.
So that's what I like to use.
Okay. Now, what about, you know, just to kind of localize it, what about like street food vendors? Say you're going to go buy a hot dog or something like street food. How do you make your purchases for street food?
Even then, I've used my card. Everyone has a card or Apple Pay, you know, using your phone as a way to buy things. Because sometimes people will forget their wallet. So now they're making ways to do it through online banking or just using an app on your phone.
Right.
Sometimes these vendors will have... what do you call it? They don't use it that much. It used to be like
square.
A cube. Yeah, like the square.
The square, yeah.
So it's because most people, they're not accepting cash.
Say that again for me, please.
Most people are not accepting cash.
Thank you very much. And I'm glad that you're here and we could talk about this, right? You're here, you're visiting. I mean, I moved here a couple of years ago, so I'm accustomed now.
Mm-hmm.
But you are the typical foreigner coming into the country, right?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody looking to go to the bank to take out cash. Worse yet, TT is of no value to anybody else outside of Trinidad and Tobago.
Exactly.
So it doesn't make any sense for them to trade their U.S. dollar and get back TT dollars because when they leave, they're stuck with it. They might as well just give it to a friend or family. So if you have cash, you know, you can give it to me. I'm accepting it, right? But they have to just leave with a friend or family because they can't go back and exchange that money to U.S. dollars. They're not accepting it on taking it back. So what does that mean for us here in Trinidad and Tobago? All of the vendors who are only accepting cash, the rest of the world is but 10 plus years removed from using cash on a day-to-day basis. So the fact that you are, you know, you haven't thought about setting up any form of digital payment option, you are set to miss out on a lot of money. You might even be losing money because people are going to be, they have to buy their ingredients. They have to go and purchase the rental spot. They have expenses. And the goal is to recoup and make money. So if you have set yourself up in a way where you've spent all your money for your goods, you've rented your spot, but you have no way to accept a digital payment and you're only accepting cash, folks, most foreigners are not going to be able to pay you because they're not thinking about cash. They're trying to find vendors who they can use their card with. We went into Carnival City. I was with a group of people from Jamaica and a couple of people from New York. We went into Carnival City the other day, and the American that was with us was like, yo, drinks on me, right? No problem, right? He's a well-known person that flown in. He's like, drinks on me. So everybody's like, hey, all right, cool. And we hit the bar in Carnival City and orders the rounds. It's like 10 of us, orders a round, and he whips out his credit card. He whips out his black card, okay? He whips out his black card. So the vendor's like, nah, boss, we don't take card. We can only take cash. So now he's like, what do you mean you only take cash? He's like, well, I don't have no cash. It's card for everything. So now he literally had to, so what went from all drinks being on him, because he has a black card, and he was in a, you know, he has money, what went from all drinks being on him, we now had to, he had to look to the local people and be like, who has cash? And we had to fork out our money for drinks, you know? So that could have been an open bar for us, for a group of 10 people, because again, it was all drinks on him. Now everybody had to, well, and I never carry cash. I only carry, we just went to the ATM. I never carry cash, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, what do you think about that?
I think it's an inconvenience because, you know, for vendors, you want to be able to accept all forms of money.
Thank you.
You need to accept all forms of money because cash, well, at least in America, it's becoming like a cashless society.
Right.
If there's a place that's only accepting cash, everyone's like, what? Like, you don't take Apple Pay or you don't take a way to, you know, get this money
digitally?
What
kind of scam is this?
Yeah. And, you know, I was telling you earlier, I had firsthand experience with this yesterday. My sister's friend that came with us too, she also lives in the US.
Right.
And they were buying a ticket to one of the events from somebody.
Right.
Don't have any way to accept it digitally, so they said you can do a bank transfer.
Right.
But if you're doing it as an American, you're gonna get like a huge fee doing that. So I said, do they have PayPal? And you know, my sister's like, let's figure out a way to do this because they're not gonna accept the cash. Or you're going to have to transfer the money, and just even transferring, you know, American money to TT, it's a lot going on. I just think there's easier ways that you could do it. So, you know, if there was a platform where you could just say, okay, even though you're American and I live in Trinidad, there's an app that I can use and we can transfer the money easily. And I think, you know, digital money is faster as well sometimes instead of having to go to the bank, get enough cash, and just like, the difference in currency. I'm already carrying a lot of cash because I know over here I don't have like a bank card in Trinidad. So,
yeah.
You know, I just think it's a little inconvenient if we don't take advantage of using digital currency because no one wants to carry a lot of cash.
Yeah, it's wild. So let's address payment options because I know it's Carnival Friday. I know you might be wondering, okay, well, what are our options? If we have a business right now and we need to be able to take cash payments or not cash payments, we need to be able to take payments from the foreigners, you know, or even just local people who don't want to walk around with cash. Oh God, it's Carnival. Who on earth wants to walk around with cash? Okay. Let's talk about options. So for one, Maya, let's address the situation with Americans or anybody, any foreigner coming in here and they need to do something locally, right? You can use PayPal in Trinidad.
Okay.
You can use PayPal in Trinidad. However, it's not as straightforward as it is in the States, right? So here's how PayPal works for us. PayPal in Trinidad, one, if people want to use PayPal in Trinidad, you need to go to paypal.com, and I'm actually going to pull this up just so I ensure to give you the 100% correct information. you're going to go to paypal.com. And once you go to paypal.com, you are going to scroll all the way to the very bottom. This is if you need to create an account. What happens is a lot of people in Trinidad have not been able to use PayPal because when they registered their PayPal account, they registered with their Skybox address, an American address, one of their friends or family in America, and they sign up for the American version of PayPal that does not allow any of our local banks to connect to it. Right, so that's a big reason why they're not able to receive the money. So if you've created an account and you've had to use an American address, you're going to have to create a brand new account. There's no way to change from the American address to a Trinidad address. You're going to have to create a whole new account. So what you're going to do, you're going to go to paypal.com. You're going to scroll all the way to the very bottom. And in the bottom right-hand section, you're going to see a flag, right? You're going to click on the flag that you see. And then once you click on that flag, it's going to bring up all of the 200 countries that PayPal operates in. You are going to look under the Americas section. You're going to find Trinidad and Tobago. You're going to select Trinidad and Tobago. And then that's going to change the PayPal account or the PayPal website to the Trinidad version of PayPal. Once you do that, you are then going to create your account, right? So once you go to PayPal, scroll to the bottom, click on the flag. Make sure you find Trinidad and Tobago underneath the Americas, okay? Once it refreshes, it's going to say paypal.com/tt.home, right? That's how you know for sure you are on the PayPal website. And again, if you scroll to the very bottom, you're going to see the Trinidad flag. Create your account. Now, this is the most important piece of the puzzle. There are only a few banks that connect to PayPal directly, okay? There's a few. I'm going to list them all. If you have a JMMB bank account, you would get a personal Visa debit card when you open up a personal account. It could be checkings, it could be savings, but they're going to give you a Visa debit card when you open up your personal account. You can use that card to connect to PayPal. And when you are someone pays you and you, when you're receiving money, you're going to be able to withdraw the money from PayPal. If you have a Venture Credit Union Visa debit card, you can receive the money from PayPal as well. If you have a Public Service Credit Union Visa debit card, you can use that too. And if you have a RAND Credit Union, R-H-A-N-D, RAND Credit Union, their Visa debit cards work with PayPal as well, right? If you do not have an account with any of those banks or credit unions, the only other way for you to receive the money from PayPal, so if someone pays you, the way to receive it would be if you have a Visa credit card, okay? A Visa credit card, not MasterCard. MasterCard will allow you to send money, will allow you to pay for things online, but MasterCard does not allow you to receive money. A Visa credit card will show up when you are doing the transfer money from PayPal. It'll show up and you can deposit funds to your credit card, to your Visa credit card. You can deposit your PayPal funds to your JMMB, Venture Credit Union, PSCU Credit Union accounts, right? I know you're thinking, you're going to be asking, okay, I have a Scotia Bank. I have a FCB. Listen, if I did not list the bank, you can't use it, okay? Because what happened is when I put the content out online, the first question is, but what about Republic Bank? I didn't say Republic Bank. I said JMMB. I said Venture. I said PSCU, right? Or a credit card from any financial institution. Once you have a Visa credit card from any financial institution, you're good. The only bank that you cannot use their credit cards is RBC. RBC has blocked their Visa credit cards from accepting PayPal funds, okay? And the reason why all this is happening, the reason why it's so limited is because all of our banks have a partnership with a company called Infolink, aka Lynx, right? Any bank that you have, once your card says Lynx on it, once the Lynx logo is on your card, you cannot use that, even though it's a Visa debit card. You cannot use your Lynx Visa debit card to connect to PayPal. It just will not work. You can only use the banks that I said. Now, if you do not have any of those accounts and you do not have a Visa credit card, there's one last way that works for everybody. Okay, this will work for everybody, but it's going to require another service to get in between. All right, that third party service is called Wise. Ma, you ever heard of TransferWise?
No, I have not.
Okay,
actually.
TransferWise. Well, they're an American company. Well, they're a global company, but they're from America, right? They're called Wise now. They used to be called TransferWise, but they're called Wise now. So Wise allows you to get a virtual bank account, right? Wise will give you a virtual bank account in like over 100 different currencies. So when you are setting up your Wise bank account, you will go and set up a U.S. currency account. The fee is 20 U.S. dollars, which you have to pay with either a credit card or you can do a wire bank transfer. And I know it's Friday, so wire bank transfers might not be the way to go right now. So find somebody. If you don't have a credit card, find somebody you know with a credit card, pay them the 20 US dollars, and then use their credit card to open the account, right? Once you open that account, and you open that US account, you can connect any local bank account in the entire Caribbean, right? So any bank account in Trinidad, any bank account in the entire Caribbean, you can get your bank details. Do you need something called a SWIFT code? And the SWIFT code is a network that all banks use to talk to each other, and they can send money via the SWIFT network to your bank account. So once you open up your Wise account, you're going to ask your local bank account, hey, what is my SWIFT code number for the bank account? You're going to connect your local bank details into Wise. Once you set that up, you're going to then take your Wise bank information, because Wise is a bank account. You are then going to connect your Wise bank to PayPal. All right, you connect your Wise bank account to PayPal. So now when somebody sends you money via PayPal, so if Maya wanted to send me money, she is from the States. If she wanted to send me money, she could send me the money through PayPal. And once the money hits my PayPal wallet, I could then transfer it to my Wise bank account. And once it hits my Wise bank account, Wise will then wire the money to my local bank account. Yes, it's a lot in terms of setting up, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds a lot more. I mean, when you're doing it, it's all online, right? So you could do it within 20 minutes, set up everything. But once everything is set up, it's all smooth and everything is tracked. Wise gives you an update. Hey, we just received money from your PayPal account. When you're sending the money to your local bank account, it'll tell you exactly what day it's going to land by. And the money hits your local bank account by that time. If you are somebody who has a U.S. account right here locally, so you have a U.S. currency account, if you want to keep the funds in U.S. dollars, Wise will send the money and it will stay in U.S. dollars. Or if you do not have a U.S. account, it will convert to TT dollars, right? So this is important because, again, like Maya said, Maya had a friend, a situation where people wanted to buy a ticket. And there was no way to send this money locally. The only other way to do it would have been to MoneyGram the money, Western Union the money, or even, you know, wire transfer the money. And that's money. That costs money. And wire transfers aren't same day things. They take 1 to 3 business days for that money to hit. Mm-hmm. Maya's looking at me like, this is a lot.
it just sounds like a lot. And I know it'd be easier if, you know, people had more awareness about using digital currency rather than cash. Because I just keep thinking about it. Like yesterday when I was buying food at the pavement line, my cousin was like, don't take out all your cash for everyone to see. But I had to count my cash. I was like, let me take this out rather than just saying, okay, here's my card, or here's a way I can use an app and send that to you.
Correct.
I take out all of my cash and count it out.
Correct. So, you know what? I'm glad you said that. So let's address the other payment options right now, right? Again, we're talking payment options because guess what? Vendors, guess what? People who are selling goods and services for Carnival. The foreigners are here. It's Carnival Friday. Everybody's landing. Everybody wants to give you their money, but you have no way for them. You have no way to accept their money. So the other option, right? So if you do not have a PayPal, and PayPal also gives you a QR code. Mm-hmm. So if you had PayPal, you could put up your PayPal QR code and foreigners everywhere could pay you via PayPal, right? If you don't have that set up, no problem. The other thing you can set up is WePay. you can set up a WePay account. WePay is like our Caribbean PayPal, right? So a business can set up a WePay account, right? And I know WePay is busy right now because I know a lot of people are trying to set up, again, a form of digital payments. So WePay is our local PayPal. And once you set up your WePay business account, you can get a QR code that you can then print out and then put. So when the foreigner comes to buy your food, they can scan the QR code, your QR code, right? And then you can put in your credit card or your Visa debit card or your bank card, and they can pay you via WePay. WePay does allow for the process of U.S. dollars. So again, if you want to earn U.S. dollars, right now WePay is processing every single payment in U.S. dollars. If you have a local U.S. account, like I mentioned, you can keep those funds in U.S. currency. And if you do not, then WePay will convert the U.S. currency into TT dollars. So you either which way you win. But as of right now, WePay processes every single transaction in U.S. dollars. So if you want to build up your U.S. currency, this is the time to do it. So sign up with WePay as a vendor. Go print your QR code. Get that up. That way, anytime somebody comes, you could say, hey, you can pay me with your credit card. Just scan my QR code. The WePay payment form will come up. And then foreigners can use their credit cards or their bank cards to pay you. Even all the local people can use their bank cards and credit cards to pay you. Everybody should have a WePay account right now. Okay? Everybody should have that. We're talking payment options for Caribbean vendors. If you have a question about what we've been talking about so far, you can call in at 627-3223. That's 627-3223. You can also call us at 625-2257. That's 625-2257. Or you can WhatsApp your questions or WhatsApp a voice note at 306-1065. That's 306-1065. You are listening to The Digital World with myself, Karen Rose, and
Maya Noel.
We're going to take a quick break. Please keep it locked. We'll be back shortly.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
And we are back inside The Digital World with myself, Karen Rose. My co-host, where you at?
Maya Noel is here.
Hello, 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 cousin. So, your first time on here, how's it been so far?
It feels like casual. I thought I'd be more nervous, but it's fun.
Yeah, man, it's me, man. We got to have fun while we're here, right? So, while we were on break, we had to go and grab our special guests for the show. And let me tell you something. These folks have been blowing up all over the place. If you probably may have found out about a bunch of restaurants and vendors because you have seen their content. So even if you don't even know their name, chances are you have seen their content. I think I learned a lot of the places from, we've interviewed him before, Zach Mustafa, aka Foodie Tales with Zach. And this is the other dynamic husband and wife duo. So please, Digital World, welcome to the show, Melina and Rendell, aka Rendelina. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, what's up?
How are you guys doing? Hey, don't get shy on me now, you know. Don't get shy on me now. How you guys been?
Yeah, good, man.
We've been good. We've been very busy losing sleep. Yeah, we've been great. Losing a lot of sleep, but you know. Great otherwise.
Losing sleep, okay.
Yeah. We've been busy since the start of this year. We've been sponsored by Mobil Lubricants.
Hey, shout outs to you. I seen that.
Yeah, so a lot of things have kicked up, and then we have to deal with the pressure of meeting deadlines as opposed to how we normally do it when we feel like posting that kind of thing or having a posting schedule. So, it's a ton of events, especially for Rendell. Even his normal wake up at 3 o'clock like a zombie.
Yeah.
Is not working out, so.
No, Melina say she losing sleep, but I think Melina has been sleeping a lot more than me. And I don't understand. Because when it comes to the editing, I love to edit, and I do a lot of the edits and stuff. So right. It's like, you know, I just be losing sleep. I don't know, Melina, you losing sleep?
Though? Yes, the natural disturbance is out of sync. So, yeah.
So, okay, So when it comes to food vlogging, right? Mm-hmm. Now let's start from the beginning. How did you guys get started as a food vlogger? Because you know, this is something that we have been seeing popping up a heck of a lot more. It come like because of TikTok. Everybody discovered TikTok over the pandemic, and all of a sudden, as soon as restaurants are back open, I feel like I've just been seeing everybody and their mother offering their food review. So how did you guys get started as food vloggers? Because again, you guys stand out way above the rest. How did you get started?
Oh, well, first of all, thanks for the compliment. Way above the rest, yeah. Cool.
It's like I said, between you and Zach, those are to me my two official food vloggers of TNT.
All right.
Everybody else is, you know, come again, but these are my two official guys.
Well, you know, the funny thing is we wasn't really like interested in food. We wasn't like quote unquote foodies in the beginning. I mean, my mom was a caterer. And well, you know, Melina could cook when she ready.
Right.
But wow. us starting this, it was really natural because I mean, I was always a fan of cinematographies and movies in Hollywood, right, and stuff like that. And I was like, hey, you know what? I want to make a movie one day. And you know, I had a little camera that I think my dad bought years ago, and I used to take like little, you know, try to do a little cinematic shots and all this sort of thing. And
right,
you know, it wasn't nothing really serious. I was I didn't know what I wanted to do or whatever. And after when I met Melina,
right,
you meet a girl, your dreams, and you had to take you out, you had to go to a restaurant and all this sort of thing. So we used to go to restaurants, we used to, you know, I don't want to say we used to critique the food, but you know, Melina used to be like, you know, Randall,
this isn't good,
but it could use some salt, right, you know, so it kind of turned into that. And we take a picture here, we take a picture there, and it's like, hey, like, let me make a page. And the name Randallina, which is like, well, a ship name, it wasn't our idea. It was a friend of ours who would always, like, you know, when at the time she was working at an ice cream parlor,
right,
and she would, I'd always buy her carrot cake. Her carrot cake was amazing. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Randall's name was carrot cake, by the way, until she learned it was Randall, right?
I don't want people to know that. Why you say that? Why? But, yeah, she would call me carrot cake and whatever. And after, you know, we would talk to Lindsay.
Right.
And she realized, okay, well, your name is Randall and your wife's name is Melina. Why are you? Hey, look, it's Randallina coming, that kind of thing.
Well, we weren't married at that time. We were dating.
Serious? Nice, cute. I felt like we was married, yes. I used to picture up from Wuko, kind of thing. You understand? And from there, I say, okay, well, she was calling us Randallina. Let me put it as the name. And I didn't, to tell you the truth, I didn't like the name. But I say, I think I didn't like Lindsay more. So I was like, I put the name and, you know.
You was okay with it.
Yeah.
But we started off just doing little vlogs in the car. We would have like weird snacks that you make at in like an Asian supermarket. Like we had Scooby-Doo snacks at one point, and it's like, okay, let's talk about this, you know?
Yeah.
But even when we would go out and have date night or that kind of thing, we would, you know, just be in our normal banter and conversation, we would be talking about the food.
Right.
And Randall would always make dishes on Sunday, and he would photograph them and post them up and put a nice caption. So we were doing things that we didn't know we would end up doing in future, but it was natural for us. And one of these things is Randall, when I was working, he was not working at the time when we just got married. He's like, Melina, I want to buy this camera. And he begged me, you know, and I was like, no, Randall, this is not an expense we could, you know.
Watch that. This is a good woman.
At the point in time, but I said, let me support my husband and what he wants to do, because he has this natural talent. He's always editing. Let's say a trailer comes out, he doesn't like the edit, he will re-edit it. So I did purchase this first camera for him. It was secondhand, and it was a T3i.
Yeah, Canon T3i.
The Rebel T3i, that is the starter camera of choice for everybody. Yeah.
And unfortunately, in 2018, we were robbed. And that was stolen, but it was a blessing in disguise, because we ended up with two camera bodies that the next year to work with. So we've always been progressing in different ways, and it's a nice steady growth experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's been really amazing as well, being able to do something like this, something you love with somebody you love. It's very fulfilling on so many levels. Yeah.
I love that.
But
our intention really when we started it was we didn't know about influencing or anything. We don't like that title,
God.
By the way.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We are content creators. But we had no clue this. And when we were looking around, we saw, you know, people like Foodie Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And as that
Foodie
that,
Nation,
yeah,
yes.
That was the baseline in which you want to put out content, also Eater Food.
Yeah. Well, Eater Food was my direct inspiration because, I mean, when it comes to his videos, the quality is up there. Everything is literally perfect technically.
Right.
And I always see myself, like, trying to reach that level in terms of quality, you know.
But we just wanted to give everybody, the husband and wife experience. It wasn't to gain followers, to start to make money, to get free food.
Mm-hmm.
But Randall wanted free KFC at one point.
Yeah, it was strange. This person, what's her name? Is it not Trini Life? It's one of these Canadian.
Oh, Trini, Natasha, you're talking about?
No, not Natasha. The next one.
Wow. Oh,
she might feel bad if you didn't remember she name, but. But one of these international, well, not international, somebody who living in Canada. And does do content for like the Caribbean and stuff like that. KFC reached out to them and gave them a whole basket of chicken.
It was Rishmi.
Yes,
talking about.
Yeah. And I was like, boy, if I could make a video and get some chicken, that would be nice. You understand? Yes. But it wasn't like, it wasn't the driving force or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to make videos with my wife and share it. That is it. I never thought it would grow to like this kind of thing. And it would be like, you know, having an interview with the DG boss. You understand?
Hey, taking that.
I never.
Earned media. Yeah. I learned that on one of your podcasts.
Oh, okay.
Earned media.
Okay. I didn't listen to that one. So.
Wow.
So I have a question for you guys. You know, in America, I make content as well. And I was looking at your guys' Instagram today. It's very organized, and I really like it. So my question is, how did you guys build your following, and, like, what were some of the roadblocks that you experienced in, you know, gaining? I think you have, what, over 55,000 followers?
Hey! Yeah, on Instagram, yeah. Well, I mean, as Melina said, we didn't know it had other people doing this.
Right.
We didn't know it had like this kind of this community with people doing different things. And at first, we would like post a video and just like, you know, tag all our friends. Hey, watch this, whatever. And you know, it's over time. It's slowly, you know, grew in time as well. It had a lot of what is called these kind of other community apps where you could like. If you like somebody post, they go like it back and all this other thing, and that wasn't working. And I was like, "Talk, why we can't grow on Instagram? I don't understand." You know, but it's just it's consistency. And in terms of roadblocks, I think the only roadblocks we had was us not being able to commit it fully. Because at the time as well, because I mean, when we started, it wasn't earning no money or anything like that.
Right.
So we were video producers. We used to do events. We used to do weddings, funerals, anything, really and truly. And when we kind of pivoted from doing that professionally to doing more of these videos, kind of like just before COVID.
Right.
Yeah. I think that is when we really started to grow on a different kind of level now, because I was committed to it every day.
Right.
I don't know. I just always tell Melina and I tell everybody, really, I don't understand where this came from, because I said I always wanted to make movies. I always wanted to do videos and stuff like that. But it was some kind of, I don't know, some kind of feeling. It's like, yeah, all right, Randall, go and make a video about doubles today. And it's like, I don't understand where it came from. It's like this kind of drive. I don't sleep. I just need to make videos, and I don't.
You enjoy what you do.
Yeah, well, I guess so, because I mean, as always be telling Melina as well, as like I spend most of my life not knowing what I want to do, and to reach a space where, you know, you're getting up 3 o'clock. Hey, what we had to do today? You know, this kind of is like, I wish everybody on earth could feel like that, because it had so many times before I'd get up and, you know, what to do today, you know, whatever thing, you know, whatever come, you know, you shouldn't feel like that. And I'm so happy that I'm able to like fall into this kind of space with somebody who writing with you, understand? You understand?
Crime.
You hear what she just said? We was married. I didn't have a job. You understand? And she buy a camera just based on like, hey, I want that camera. You understand? Know come down, man. I got you.
Well, he had a job when we were married, and Randall is not somebody that like structure too much. So he would tend to leave the job.
Yes. Well, all right.
I would give you I will give you his gaming name later, right? If you ask me, I will tell you what his gaming name is, and you'd realize why.
Please do ask.
Writing that down.
Yeah. But yeah, Maya, you asked us like about the... You said our Instagram is very neat. Now, Randall is very obsessive in terms of how he posts. He says the line has to be complete.
Yeah. And
that
you
is
know,
something he says.
You know what's the funniest thing? Everything else in chaos is just that line is perfect for me. Once I see it, I'll just be like...
So if you look at our Instagram, you would see all the title videos. It would be in the center.
Right.
And then you would see random photos or anything else on the side of it. But now they have introduced Reels, so it goes in a separate place. But if you look at the feed itself, you would see that kind of design. It's not the checkered board that everybody else does.
So the line, Sugar Cone, Wellness Wednesdays, Roast Fish, the title. Okay, I get it.
I don't know when I got obsessed with that, but I think when I started to kind of put more effort into the videos, I was like, hey, this need to look organized. I want it to look as good as possible. I want to look back and be like, hey, I did that.
Fragment of neatness that he has.
Yeah, that is all the... Everything else in MS. Everything. But and I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say everything else. My wife balances me out.
Yeah, that's where I balance things out. I'm the structured person. I'm the corporate person. I wear many hats in that house. You know?
Yeah.
Chief cook and bottle washer.
But that is good. You need the structure. So it's good that you guys...
It's yin and yang, literally. And I couldn't wish for anything better.
Hey.
Valentine's Day was just... Yeah. I think again, a little... what do you call it? Oh gosh, I lost
the word right now. What are you talking about? And it's the funniest thing, we just go to different places every day, and for Valentine's Day, we did nothing. We just drive around and do nothing.
But even that's good.
Yeah, we
even
just spend time together.
Actually, we had two shoots that day. Eh?
Well, yeah, that too.
But we were just tired. We was like, no, we're not going to take a shower and go back to some restaurant.
Yeah.
We're eating food all year.
Right.
Variety from the street vendor.
Now we take a little relaxing drive.
Yeah, you want to know what Melina ate for Christmas Day?
Wow.
Guess what she ate.
Yeah, take a wild guess.
Pastels and ham?
Nope.
Bread and butter.
Nope.
Okay.
Think about somebody who eating these things every day.
That's why I said bread and butter.
okay. All right.
What? It was Samyang ramen.
But okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I enjoy for Christmas Day.
I'm feeling for ramen.
Because every other day you guys are eating anything you want.
So I have another question. So what are some of the opportunities that you guys have gained from being food vloggers? Because I know a lot of people, if they're on YouTube or TikTok, they have a lot of trips and they get to travel because YouTube is like paying them to do certain things. So what are some of the opportunities you guys have gained?
Wow, that's a good question. You sure Maya will be here every week?
Listen, it's my cousin, you know.
Yeah, she's saying that. She's saying, yes, one of some of the opportunities. She's like, so, all right. As Melina said before, we didn't know about the community or anything like that, or it had anything to be gained from this.
Right.
So for, I guess, the first 3 years, a lot of this stuff was out of our pocket, wherever we needed to go, whatever we needed to buy, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think only now in the last 3 years, we started to get opportunities. I, unfortunately, got started really late on YouTube. So our YouTube is like now gaining some kind of speed. But in terms of opportunities, we just signed, a contract or a sponsorship? With Mobil Lubricants.
Yeah.
Right. And before then, we would always get, I don't want to say special treatment, but we had a lot of opportunities to do things that other people wouldn't have the opportunity to.
Right.
In the past, we've been invited to other countries and stuff like that, but we didn't get the opportunity to go. But what we do on the back end, what we don't tell a lot of people, is we work with restaurants, helping them perfect their menus, their social media, the content, stuff like that.
Right.
So what that allows us to do is kind of see both sides of the coin, you know. But in terms of,
so doing Randalina is a means to showcase our talent, right? We are video producers by trade, but a lot of people don't know that. So we normally get jobs through seeing
the work
things
for
Randalina. So we have been freelancing for different media agencies, that kind of thing. We also do social media content and right. management for various restaurants that we've interacted with, and they see our performance and they in turn get that kind of, you know, traction.
Right.
And then there's the sponsorship with Mobil Lubricants, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's like one of our major sponsorships. I think what we always aim to do, to answer your question, we always aim to help. So it wasn't looking for opportunity or looking for a sponsorship or looking for anything. It was just like, hey, yo, this woman have a swordfish pizza and nobody know about it. What?
Shimmerlicious.
Yeah.
Shout out to Shimmerlicious.
I always love her social media. I think that was one of the things that brought us, like, well, attracted her.
Right.
To her. Her social media, she'd just be at it every day.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, if she could do that, I could more than do that. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
So you guys are doing this, is Rendellina full-time? Is this full-time, or are you guys have a day job? I know.
You know, it's funny. You know, people ask me that in the past, and I'd be like,
Nah, boy.
I work in somewhere. What? Eating food every day? No. I'm doing that. You know, this kind of thing. But I think I've recently realized that, hey, okay, we do this every day, and this is our main thing.
This is and lovely.
And not only that, we see results.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. And I am really happy that we are able to even live from it. You know this kind of
yes.
thing? Because, I mean, in years past, we had to, you know, obviously have something else going on in terms of the video production. And we would do a lot more weddings and stuff like that. But
right.
since after COVID, watch now. Since after COVID.
Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. So, question for you guys, right? My girl Janine just touched down in the building.
Hi,
Janine.
Hi guys. How are you?
Janine, we have a full house today, so
I'll touch back.
We'll figure it out. Did you eat?
Me?
Yeah.
I ate, man.
All right. Now, just making sure.
Right, nice, man. Yeah,
all right. One of the questions that I love to ask our guests. Now, the majority of the people that come in here, they all have a job or they've created a business for themselves that is outside of the normal three that's acceptable Caribbean wide. Yeah. We know, right?
Bullseyes.
Right. You know, if your parents know you're not a lawyer, you're not an engineer, you're not a doctor, you're a waste of time, right? Mm. So what was that conversation like when you told your parents, hey,
I will speak on this because my dad. My dad, every time I visit his home, he would be like, I see this job in the newspaper, or he would send me something that somebody sent him on WhatsApp.
Right.
And then he decided some time ago to join Facebook. And when he saw the numbers that we generate, and he's like, oh, these people is real support all year, and ting. And people in church would tell him about, people on the side of the road would tell him about Rendellina. I see a daughter here and there. So the respect came when they saw the numbers, when they saw the responses for our videos. But
right.
My dad would send me jobs.
True.
Police, hiring. Everything, you name it.
Yeah. And it wasn't like about kind of, it didn't have like, we're doing this, we're going to be doing vlogs. It didn't have that moment. It was like a kind of natural progression from us doing, you know, the event videos into Rendellina.
Right.
But I think, well, for me personally, when I saw my father give me that kind of respect for what I do,
right.
is like when, because, he used to work Petrotrade, and
right.
his he had like certain supervisors that he respected and stuff like that.
Right.
And when we did a video about Dove's Dirt of Nguaya Gari,
right.
which was one of our big videos. And
we use the theme song Bring Back the Old Time Days.
Yeah.
Right.
It really connected with people and well the older generation and stuff like that. And the his supervisor sent him the video and said, watch now, this video real good, boy. We had a good one here, boy. And he was like, wait now. But that's my son in the video, man. And watch, I think, like, for the last, the after that video, for, I don't know, boy, for like a good 3 months, he was like, yeah, boy, that video was real good, you know. I like all the real down to it and all kind of that real good. Yeah, man, all I'm making money from them things.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of way. So it was, that for me, that was like when he realized, hey, what we're doing, it's big. It's something that impacted people and is something that we generated money from, and I get that respect. I felt that respect that day, you know.
Our dads interacting with us is as though they've never met us in real. They have all this amount of feedback, and you need to clean up your
language. Yeah.
And you don't say this, you will offend the people, and you won't get no more work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's all of those things.
Yeah. But really fun. I mean, they're just trying to, you know,
help. Be supportive.
Out. Yeah, they're being parents, you know. But unfortunately, though, but we don't have. Our mothers.
Here, yeah.
If it didn't
condolences.
Yeah. It would have been nice if there was around to see it, but
yeah, my mom was a foodie. She would have been eating everything.
Yeah, and my mom was a caterer and baker and stuff like that. So
it's in the genes. It's in the
Yeah. We could real cook and bake and thing in the best. Just we began so much.
Yeah,
food,
we don't have time. My and stove we don't have in time. A box.
Yeah, she was like. Babe, I want to cook for you. Buy a stove now. Buy this stove. You know, how long the stove in the living room, girl?
Maybe over 6 months, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
We didn't even get to.
When you're getting catered every day.
Yeah, watch though. Hey.
The dog is also happy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets a treat every day.
He's like, why are you eating today pork?
But you asked about your job. Even my father in law, he would be like, girl, you leave your government work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't have that confidence in it at first, but then when that Dove's video came out, he was like, all right, yeah, well, they're doing good.
Yeah, but I mean, I totally understand because, I mean,
It's out of the box. It's
And as you
they
know,
can't even fathom it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, the traditional ways and stuff like that. So I totally understand. And I mean, we at a certain point, we wasn't generating money as well. We was just, you know, this kind of way. So
that's the growing phase.
Yeah. Oh, boy, that growing phase.
Maya, I know, Maya, you're going through it. I've been going through it. Where
Where's it going through it? You're going?
I was going through it.
Oh, you were? I thought you said because
I still want my freedom money though. Yeah, I want it all.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm trying to learn how to do that. I got to learn how to do that.
Wow.
So my next question, you know, we're talking about having a typical job and how your family thought about that. So since you don't have a typical job, what is like your normal day-to-day routine, because you don't necessarily have like a structure of I'm clocking in at this time, I'm clocking out at that time. So what's like your typical daily routine?
Typical day.
I will start with my structure and then whatever I feel like. I would usually get up before 8 because certain businesses that we run, that we do social media management for, they may open from 8 o'clock, they may open from 2 o'clock. It depends on, and straight up to 10. Most of my accounts, they work up to, well, they open and their opening hours are up to 10. So then I have those things. I have daily posting or posting every other day, that kind of thing. That's how my day starts. Rendell, now, on the other hand, he's the mastermind behind Rendellina. I know a lot of people see my face and be like, oh, she's saying this is she. Yeah, she don't like the food and one. Oh, my God. They target me a lot on the internet, by the way. But it's Randall is the mastermind. He's the one that writes all the copy.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I would proofread if you see any spelling errors. Yeah. His name is Randall.
But his mistake is me.
Right? But he does exceptionally good work, but his day is random, so he'll tell you about it.
Well, I was going to ask you, what day are you looking for? You're saying a typical day. You want a busy day or you want a...
Yeah, what's a typical busy day like when you're creating content?
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I can't even encapsulate a day because sometimes the day start from yesterday, you know? It's like... No, I tell you, because it's like, okay, we shoot a video yesterday. We reach home after 11. I get up 3 o'clock. I start to work on that. I release at 7. We have a place to go for 10. We shoot our video. We have one of the businesses we manage. They want new photos for this new item. We had to go and taste it. We had to give them feedback. Reach home like around 6. Or we have an event to go for for 8. That kind of thing. Now. So sometimes the days just be busy like that. Or sometimes it's be a little chill. Or sometimes I'll just be like, you know what? I want to stay home today. You know this kind of way? But
nice to have that freedom, eh?
Watch now. That is a real plus.
Randall has these moments where I just need to detox. It's either he sleeps or he plays. He's also a gamer.
Yeah.
So he would play his games during the day.
So what's his gamer name now?
Chaos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Life is chaos.
Chaos.
Except for Melina.
There was this guy one time, he's like, well, we didn't use chaos, and he started bowing down at Randall. Because he was good at, I think it was Call of Duty or something at the point in time. Yeah. But he lost his mojo at Gen Z Takeover.
Yeah. Shout out to Cyberboys in San Fernando.
Hey.
That was the deal, man.
We got to get some gamers on the program, too.
After
Carnival.
After God, that group is growing, streamers and stuff like that.
It is. Yeah. And they're making money.
Yeah. Really?
Generating.
In Trinidad? Okay.
Yeah, there's one of, I got to bring this guy down, but.
I forget his name. The one with the, and you say boom, bad guy.
But I'm not a gamer. I don't know their gamer names. I know the real name.
He alienated everybody.
Wow, I'm so sorry. It's up Sifted as well.
We have Sifted. Yeah.
Yeah, she's a real cool one.
I know there's some gamers. One of the gamers that I talked to, shout out to Damien. Mm-hmm. I remember Damien sent me his Twitch payment, and homeboy made almost 20k off of Twitch streaming. Okay. Well, and I was like, sir, we got to talk.
Okay. What was the time? I feel like I had a
at least we are monetized on YouTube. I
can
say that.
Shout outs to that. Shout outs to that.
So guys, go and support YouTube, please. Yeah, we need to rock up some more.
Yeah, like and subscribe.
We're gonna get all your socials now. Don't you worry.
Well, speaking about that, you know, a lot of people will say things like YouTube or TikTok are like overly saturated. So what sets you guys apart from other like travel or food vloggers, and what got you to where you are now because of that?
Well, as Melina was telling me, thanks, by the way. I see mastermind. So
be teacher's moment.
What I always wanted, because I wasn't able to do it for my own mother, is tell the business owner's story.
Right.
Right? Everybody have a story. But I believe when it comes to the service industry, and especially food, doing it on a daily basis, working all the... There are so much things these people do that you don't see.
Right.
You understand? And I think their story should be told and they should be respected for it.
Yeah.
Right? So I ain't saying, set apart or whatever, but what I love to do is tell the story behind the business. Tell them why you getting up at 3 o'clock every morning, rolling this curry. Well, not curry, sorry. Rolling this flour.
Yeah.
I mean, you can roll the curry too, you know, but, you know, cooking this curry. What's your why? You understand? Right. And, you know, when you hear everybody have a, like, amazing story, it's like, you know, okay, well, yeah, my great-great-great-grandfather used to do this, and, you know, we're just trying to keep the tradition alive, and, you know, it's hard, but we had to keep it at this price and whatever. You know, I started a few series just to kind of, like, facilitate, because, I mean, okay, the higher we go, we have to do, like, you know, certain videos with mobile and fresh harvest and different kind of things.
Right.
So we had to do it in a certain way, but... What I have done, I started certain series where I'm looking for the best doubles in Trinidad.
Right.
And that is because of TikTok and because of Reels, I'm able to make a shorter documentary.
Right.
In like, 30 seconds. Right. You understand? Okay, what time is open? Why is that this? How it is? Rated out of 10. That kind of thing. You know? Something a little faster. And I also had a series about looking for the cheapest roti.
Right.
But what did I had to take a pause on that because we started to get so much messages. I was like,
Stopped eating flour and rice. And
yeah, we kind of slowed down on the rice. And
right. And you know, we love that.
Yeah.
But I think what makes us stand out a bit is Randall's ability to tell the story. And not the documentary or the story behind the business. He's a good storyteller. He says, he always says that he thinks in pictures. So... It really transforms, you know, how you see something. His storytelling is amazing. He's able to capture people in 10 seconds.
Thanks, babe.
If you look at the intro to our video, that is what people get hungry by, those first 10 seconds of the video. Yeah, so He's really talented in doing that.
So if you're on a diet, you got to stay away from Rendellina because all he needs is 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
No, sir. All I need is 2.
Hey!
Okay. All right. Leave that over there.
All you need is 2 seconds. So, you know, when people are thinking about content creation, I think one of the conversations where we need to have more of is monetization, because people don't necessarily know how to monetize from creating this content, right? The main way that people think to monetize off content is by brand deals, right? And we know the content creators who every video we see is sponsored. And at some point, yes, you're making your money, the bag is secured, but when you build a community and you start to gain influence over that community, the surefire way to start to lose your influence is if you are, every post is a sponsored post. And we know you're not being critical. We know you're just bigging it up. At that point, we just kind of turn off because it becomes an ad. And right now, ads, we tune out, right? Yeah. We filter out ads altogether, you know? So as you guys have progressed through your journey, you know, what are some of the ways that you guys have learned to monetize with your skill sets and also in creating content?
I think what is unique to us is that we are always authentic. So people be like, okay, well, you're getting free food, you're lying, that kind of thing. No, we are always authentic, and I believe in integrity. I believe in honesty in doing everything. So I would not go and put myself out there for a brand I don't believe in or doesn't align.
Yeah.
And Rendellina is the husband and wife experience.
Yeah.
So it's not something that should be far-fetched from what we normally do. Like, right. We had someone reach out to us for a dog cleaning service or a dog grooming service, but at the point in time, we didn't have a dog. I'm not
going to get like, no.
I'm not going
to. No.
I didn't say it like that. I didn't. Yeah, so you see, you're making
me train. Yeah, but no, once the brand aligns, we usually work with them in terms of monetization.
The various ways you monetize. Because like I said, people only tend to think about, well, the only way I can make money by creating content is by working with the brand and the brand paying me, right? Well, so what are some of the ways that you guys have learned to monetize?
I mean, obviously, we work with brands like that as well. Yeah. But as I said, on the back end, what we try to do, okay, we did this video, it helped you guys. Okay, let's try to help you guys on a yearly basis.
Provide you with a service that could help you in turn not be dependent on influencers or people like that. You need to, because just how we started from scratch and we grew, you can do the same thing as well. It's going to become like a reflex for you to be able to create content, put out posts, write copy, that kind of thing.
Yeah, why does tell everybody we work with, you could do it yourself. You could literally do it yourself. But I think people just want to know. People just want it quick. It's a lot of patience, you know. So with monetization as well, a lot of people just join TikTok and Instagram and be like, yeah, well, I can get this money and whatever. But it's take time.
Yeah, they
unless
have
you
no
have
clue.
Something totally 100% viral, like, you know. But
yeah,
it rare. But it's take time. People need to have patience when it comes to money.
Like with Facebook, you have to consistently make 3-minute videos that hit a certain amount of views to start to be monetized. YouTube is the same thing. You have to have a certain amount of followers.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. We're only monetized on YouTube right now. We qualified for monetization on Facebook, but there's some hiccups there.
Right.
In terms of my bank account that as well.
don't worry.
But thanks, Karen, for all the advice that you give on your platform. That is why we started engaging with the YouTube monetization. Mm. Yeah, how to do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Big up GMMB. They are not my sponsor.
yeah.
No, we were talking about that earlier, but yeah, no, that's good. That is good because you see, for me, I want content creators to learn about the variety of ways to monetize, right? We know that brand deals, that's one stream.
Yeah.
I love the fact in hearing your story that there's actual skills behind. When we stop talking about food, you guys are into videography, production, you guys are into consulting with the restaurants, right? And showing them how you guys have been able to find success and then helping them with, so there are actual tangible skills that you guys are also making money from. That's other forms of revenue and ways to monetize for the Rendellina brand on the whole. And I want more content creators to start learning about that, because again, if you're only doing brand deals, if that's all you're doing, you're gonna burn out your audience really quickly. The brands are going to stop calling you the minute they realize, okay, well, if no one's engaging on your sponsored content, then you're of no use to us. So there is a fine line that you have to walk where you can say yes to some brands, but you got to turn them down as well. Because if you overdo it and you start to, if every single post comes out as a sponsored ad, then you lose, you lose the one thing a brand wants to work with you for, and that is for your influence, because you can no longer influence anybody to make a decision, which is to buy their product or come to their event or whatever the call to action is for that, you know? So that's very good. Now, let's kind of change up the conversation. It is carnival time. Food tourism is a thing. If people ain't going no fets, or actually no, a lot of them are going to fets and they're going the all-inclusives because of the culinary experiences, right? So talk to me about some of your favorite vendors that you guys have been visiting over the past couple of weeks, a couple of months, that people who are touching the shores, they need to go and visit these people and eat this food.
One of the vendors that I must say, and I have worked with this vendor before, even before we were so popular on social media, the Pork Joint, she is someone that is really popular in FETS. And I worked with her in a FET, and I also attended FETS that, well, she's somebody, her food is really good.
Yeah.
So all inclusives, you know, big scale FETS, that kind of thing. Her pork is really good. So the Pork Joint, she's located in Twin Walls in Gulfview, San Fernando. Well, Laramie.
Yeah.
The Cabin, everybody is talk about Cabin Chicken. I don't know if you ever heard about the Cabin Fried Chicken.
I have not.
What? All right, sorry.
I'm here telling her I'm going to take her to Royal Castle afterwards.
Yes, I heard you all talking about KFC and Royal Castle, and that those are must-haves, but those are big franchises. Right. I mean, if you, obviously the seasoning is different here, and we have a 24-hour KFC, of course you need to go and check that out, especially if you're in Port of Spain, you know, taking any carnival festivities or participating. But the Cabin on the Cross, that is his name of his brand, he has a kind of spicy home-style fried chicken.
Right.
And you would kind of lines that he has on every day of the week. I don't know fried chicken, how you want fried chicken that often. But it tastes really good. Randall, what vendors you recommend?
Well, I see like a few other food pages come out with like must-haves, you know, things you need to have in Trinidad and Tobago Carnival and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But what we recommend usually is, you know, a good doubles, right? And I mean, we all have our favorite spots.
Yeah.
As much as I started a series saying I looking for the best doubles in Trinidad and Tobago, everybody have their different preference. But I think a lot of people sleeping on Arima in terms of doubles and what they could offer.
Right.
They have a really unique taste. And I think a lot of people go for the doubles, go buy sauce and get doubles and stuff like that, but you need to try meat doubles.
Maya,
yeah.
I meet doubles, right? With some pork, you understand?
Yeah, Trin Bagel Delights. She has a lovely way of doing her doubles. She has beef and pork and minced chicken?
She have all the meats.
All the meats. Yeah. And she's pretty active. Like, she has been, with her fitness group, she has been doing stuff in front food hall, like burnouts, that kind of thing, fitness burnouts. And so she is very diverse. So she's not only eating the doubles, making the doubles, but you know, she's encouraging you to get fit and get carnival gear as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Who else you guys like? Is there any soups, any...
Well, the thing is, with the vendors that that we would recommend is not necessarily carnival associated or they are participating.
No, that's fine. What I'm saying is, for remember, we have a lot of people who have flown in for carnival,
right, tuning in.
So if they've now touched down, you know, everybody, the first thing to do as a foreigner is they pick up their phone, they're Googling where to go and eat, what to find.
Right.
But
right,
not
right,
all
right.
the vendors are Googleable.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. You know, where have you guys traveled to? Who do you guys like? Okay. So people listening in know, okay, right. I heard it on the radio. We got to go there. We got to go and check them out.
So you definitely need, if you want a very good corn soup experience or oxtail or cow heel soup, you need to go to the Salmon Tree that is in Couva. And the name of the business is Z Market Hut. If you check out our page and you look at that video, you're going to get hungry. You want that soup.
The
trust
best
me.
Soup in Trinidad.
Trust me.
The wow. best. Okay.
The best.
Her crab and dumpling, exceptional, mouth-watering crab and dumpling. Go and get that as well. It's the same Z Market Hut.
Right.
She does it on a weekend. So if you're around on the weekend, Saturday, go and check that out.
Right. And if you're looking for a good fried chicken, the cabin, right? If you're looking for a good doubles, what's her name again? The Trinbago Delights.
Trinbago Delights.
Yeah, that's in Arima, so we're sending you all over Trinidad.
What do we got in Port of Spain? Because we know a lot of these guys are going to be... What do we got in Port of Spain?
The Breakfast Shed, their Accra. I don't know, something about that when I used to work in Port of Spain, I always like their Accra, and it's really humongous.
When was the last time you had an Accra?
Homemade stuff, homemade Accra.
They have a really good Accra and tamarind sauce.
Yeah.
Check them out in the Breakfast Shed. I don't know if they still do it because, you know, we don't really venture into Port of Spain that early of the, in the morning.
Right.
Just to, you know, have it. That's your hustle and bustle going to work. I want to grab something to eat. Port of Spain.
If you're looking for a really good breakfast as well, good Lord. I keep on. We have visited so much places.
Yeah.
To kind of go in the encyclopedia and just be like, all right, doubles, breakfast. It's like I had to think about it.
Yeah.
And it's like different. Everybody have a different name for a different reason. And as I'm thinking about it, I think about everybody's story.
Yeah.
So it's Lisley Bistro. And where are they located?
That is Maraval Plaza, I believe she's in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then if you want to go deep south for a breakfast experience, it's kind of fusion, continental, kind of Trini style breakfast. You can check out Cherry Blossom Bistro. Mm. Well, the proprietor for Cherry Blossom Bistro is now operating in Elixir Restaurant. And you can have a breakfast from 6:30 in the morning, I think, until 11.
Mm.
So check that out.
Right. And if you just had a good feta experience.
Yeah.
You're coming home 6 o'clock in the morning. You need to check out. It have a guy.
He's Barry, his name is.
The man have a pie. The pie big like my head.
Yeah.
You understand? He put in cheese, meat, chana.
Oh, it's not Barry you're talking about. This is in Pitti Valley he's speaking about. So
right.
He has doubles where you can get ham, cheese, chana, all these sauces.
Ham? Mm-hmm.
Yes, trust me, it tastes really good.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good.
Maya, what are we doing after? What are we doing after?
But right? The thing is, if you go there and 8:30 meet you, it's sold out already.
Sold out.
Yeah,
so he has a pie version. He has a bake with ham and chana. And
the original fat boy.
Right.
Yes,
right.
Fat boy is his name.
You know that's his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's across from the Panyard in Pitti Valley there.
Right.
Yeah, trust me, that thing is worth it. I think it's $20 for the aloo pie.
Right.
But you
big like my
depending on how you eat, you could only eat half.
Wow.
So it's that good. That's a total
the great, best tourist experience. I feel like if you want to incorporate doubles and something that you're familiar with, like ham.
Yeah.
In your stuff.
Perfect for hangover too. Oh my.
Yeah. That's cutters. I don't know how it become cutters, but that's cutters.
But yeah, that's our recommendations because we wouldn't like give you like 10 different places and stuff like that because we will be watering it down a little bit. These places that we mentioned is like people who have been doing it for years, like 10 plus years. Like is something very unique as well.
Right.
You know, it's not just these are nice doubles, these are nice breakfast.
No, it's unique.
Yeah.
Something that stands out.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you want a really consistent taste in terms of roti, really silky, pass up shots, Nice curry. Well, if it can handle pepper, don't go by the man. But S&J Roti Shop in Armin. Wow.
Yeah,
wow,
she wow, just wow. said that we literally, he has the best roti in Trinidad. But
what's his name? S&J?
S&J Roti Shop. The owner's name is Sunil. Mm-hmm. So go and ask for Sunil. You can like, also have breakfast in the morning by him.
Right.
You can have dal rice, curry beef with salad. You name it, that you can have it.
And you're right, he's not Googleable, and it's like I'm literally begging him to do a video. He want to do a video.
Listen, and this is why, you know, we're talking about it, and this is why we have this show, because we want to get more people thinking about getting themselves online. So again, when foreigners come in, the first thing they pick up is their phone. Around to eat, right? Maya, before you come in, a quick question. Have you guys tried the Doubles Ice Cream by A&J's?
No, we haven't, but funny enough, we spent a lot of time at A&J's. One of our videos is one of the reasons why they blew up
Right.
Yeah.
So we have done their product photos, some of the photos that you would see, and they're all over the place. We've done
right.
Yeah, for the signage and stuff.
Right.
And we love how creative they are, and they're always coming out with something. But no, we haven't had the Doubles.
I cannot put a line by that Doubles ice cream. I was like, oh, God. Boy,
we're playing a little bit too.
Because when we did the first video, he came out with the pepper ice cream?
Yeah.
Pineapple chow.
Pineapple chow
ice cream, right?
Ice.
So I was like, what's this? You understand? And I was like, okay, Ting, let me do this video. I did it. And it tastes like what's pineapple chocolate.
I don't know
cream.
If that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know.
It was so confusing. It's like if... You put a pepper in your mouth and you eat an ice cream. It was like an oxymoron. It was, it was a great experience.
It's very pleasing to the senses. It's like your brain firing in different ways.
It's like, help,
you get the creaminess of the ice cream and then some black pepper hits in the back of your throat and you're coughing endlessly.
Yeah.
So it's like chow and ice cream. So, okay, let's say eating a chow and you want to cool on your mouth and you say, well, let me drink a milk drink. Right. That's your experience there.
Yeah.
With all the texture and the nice creaminess.
Don't know if my mouth's on fire. I'm thinking milky drink. But I get it. Okay.
I feel like it might be better than the Doubles. But I
do realize that the Doubles went really viral. Yeah. And I mean, that going back to the points I made earlier, I was like, hey, yo, bro, you could do this yourself. You can make the video yourself. You don't need somebody to come in and say, you know, some, I don't know, influencer come in and say, hey, try this ice cream. Hey,
right.
You know, this kind of way, just like do the video yourself and people will come if it's interesting enough.
Right.
You know, this kind of way. And I'm really happy that they kind of made the video themselves
And
they got it, they shared it everywhere and it reached a different level.
Yeah,
but
it took them to a whole different
level. Exactly. And you see that Doubles ice cream? I was like, nah, but.
So my next question, speaking of recommendations, it's an idea that came to me. Would you guys ever consider making like an ebook of the recommendations? Because one, that could be like another source of income if you do an ebook or if you do a blog.
Mm.
So another way for, you know, foreigners to see these things if they don't want to just, you know, use their phone. If you had like an ebook or a product, I'm even thinking, you know, something at an airport, if there's like a QR code, they click on the QR code and they see all of the recommendations that you guys
that's
have. Would you consider something
yeah,
like
that? Yeah, we would consider that. We also kind of up a little bit, but you know, I didn't want to say that in public. But you know, but yeah, we have things in the works in terms of making it very accessible for people because, you know, you literally come in and say, okay, what's the best, what was your recommendation? I had a real think.
Yeah.
Because it's like about 300, about 300 in my brain and it's like, I had to pull it out and I kind of,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So we would consider that. Mm-hmm. That is a really good idea. But we are working on things to make it more. What?
You know, and as she said that, like, uh-huh. the first thing that came to mind was Caribbean Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would love something like that because mm-hmm. we don't have much documented content
right.
on the culinary experience of Trinidad and Tobago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now Trinidad and Tobago doesn't have the beaches, it doesn't have a lot of the other glitz and glam that some of the
right.
other islands have. However, we are known for our food,
right?
We are known for our food, and guess what, like 90% of everybody that's doing food isn't online. Like they mm-hmm. don't have a website. That's almost guaranteed they don't have a website,
yeah.
right? Whether they have a social media is 50-50, and you guys would know that
yeah,
more
yeah,
than,
yeah.
right?
50-50 whether they have, but then you're also not Googleable. So we would never find you unless somebody gave us word of mouth. But then if you're a foreigner, how many people, you might not know anybody here to get that word of mouth experience or whatever, right? But if you're on the flight and, you know, you guys, there's Caribbean Beat magazine and Caribbean Airlines has another platform. But if there's something that's tangible like an ebook, where people can have access to that, again, if you're coming in for the first time and you've only heard about this amazing culinary experience, but there's no documented, you know, thing where we can learn about that. Like I've learned about Uncle Clyde's because of Zach and whatnot, right? A lot of these places, again, I've learned because of you guys. There's nowhere for me to learn about these cults. So that's a good idea. Yeah.
I was thinking about it because I know for me, like, you know, I graduated college in December. I'm going to be doing a lot more traveling. I'm a big foodie. Mm. And sometimes, you know, there's people that could do reviews online, but I'd rather see, if I could see, like, an ebook that's going to give me, like, structure, tell me where to go, what kind of food it is, what area, then I'm more likely to use that.
Okay. You're more likely to use an ebook or app?
Both, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
The ebook is the easiest thing to do.
Okay.
Right? App is more, because then you also have to get people to learn about the app or whatever.
But either,
for that, like, you do both. You'd want to have both.
Yeah.
Right? You'd want
to
have both.
But we like to maximize whatever kind of exposure that we could give to people. So
yeah, but I also want it to be right, and I want it to be easy and accessible, and I want it to be fair to all parties involved. You know, we ain't looking to make a whole set of money from whatever in terms of, oh, well, we're charging you this for a yearly fee or this kind of, it have to be very fair. It have to be fair to us as well. So there's a lot of things
you guys could get creative with how, like, again, there's a lot of ways to do this, but I'm not even thinking about charging the people. Like, I want to get you listed. There's other ways to make money off of
exactly. You're right. That's what I say. It's gotta be fair, but you're thinking about how you had a kind of benefit from it, obviously. You know, but you also want to create something to help people navigate, you know, the food in the country and stuff like that.
And we need a lot of help, because again, we are known, if there's nothing else we are known for, it is, outside of our carnival, it's our food tourism. And I don't think anybody has done enough to promote the food tourism for the country. Yes, we have some great food vloggers, right? But what I mean by not done enough,
right.
There's so much more that could be done, right? Like, I would love to see a food festival in Trinidad.
Oh, no,
but
it's a food festival.
Well, that, you know, and here's the funny thing.
Uh-huh.
I don't hear about them.
Yes.
So yeah, a lot of these things.
No, but one of the more popular ones is Best Fest. But
yeah,
I don't
Best Fest
know
was
when
pretty
was the
popular.
Last time they had that.
Back in the day. In Port of Spain.
Wait, Best you hear Fest what she just said?
Well, yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So, again, a lot of these. So, we also suffer from Weiss, but the marketing and the promotion of the events is also not that great. So if you're plugged in and you know somebody who is familiar, then you'll know about it.
Right.
But a lot of these things, I've been here 9 years and I've never heard of it.
Right. Wow.
I've never heard of it.
Wow.
And it's not that I'm not plugged in. Like,
you're plugged in.
But a lot of these things we just don't hear about. So again, there's so many opportunities. And I think, you know, when you have food vloggers like yourself, like a Foodie Tales, like a Hungry Belly, like there's some unique things that you guys are going to be able to do, because every single day you guys are literally touring the country for food. You're documenting it. But with social media isn't indexable, so we can't jump on Google and say, hey, best corn soup, and an Instagram video pops up, right?
Right.
However, your YouTube channel, YouTube is a search engine, so that's also good. But the ebook and the books and things like that is a guided thing. So if somebody has access to it, even if it's on a website and they get the QR code and they scan, or there's a pamphlet, or there's a book or something, we could say, okay, here is the book of the top 100 places that we need to know about that we can't even find on Google.
That ebook, I actually never thought about that ebook, and that is I'm real happy I come here, because I mean, I never realized that, you know, that is something that somebody that not in the country would use. I think when it comes to Trinidad and Tobago and technology and doing new things and like ebooks and apps, we're pretty behind.
Because, but we're also only thinking about, so what happens is, right, I'm kind of glad that you're making the point that you're making.
Mm.
Most of the business owners, when they're thinking about their customers, they tend to not do things because they're thinking about the local market.
Yes.
Right? But a straight foreigner, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Don't live here. She's a foodie. She is looking for something like that so she can now say, okay, well, these are all that there's soups, there's doubles, there's rotis, there's beefs, there's porks. Like, let me figure out what I want, and then mm-hmm. I can now I can go and check these places out. And again, a lot of these places you can't find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of our content is the hole in the wall kind of place that doesn't have big branding, marketing, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, but they have an exceptional taste and a wonderful story.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely.
Yeah, but I really am. Yeah, I'm really thinking about this ebook, boy.
Yeah, even in terms of like people, you know, there might be people that are vegan or have dietary restrictions.
Right. Yeah.
It might be even harder to think like, okay, what am I going to eat? Or what if I don't even eat meat, but I come here, what can I come to eat? Have you ever like had to address things like that, going to places where there's food other than like just meat or anything like that?
You feel this when you meet Tuesday?
Since I don't know, I don't have an idea. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, it seems like we just eat meat anyway.
Before I start, right? Persons with allergies or dietary restrictions, please do not leave it in the hands of the restaurant. Please let them know, hey, I'm going to die if I eat fish.
Oh.
You know, that kind of thing. Like the guy, you all remember this recent viral video. The guy was like, I wanted garlic sauce, but with no mayonnaise.
Ooh.
Come on, that's garlic cream. It's a totally
and
different
thing.
And he
started to kick up the shop.
Yeah, yeah. And he went spot on the people's establishment.
Right.
So, yes, we've done things, you know, for vegans and whatnot, but we are not necessarily part of that community. Our lifestyle is not, you know, restricted in that way. So we'd like the recommendations of our followers or people who know about these things to help us to say, well, hey, I love the taste of this and this is very much worthwhile. Mm-hmm. Go visit.
And I mean, we've found a few people as well who are vegetarians and who have restaurants, and we do share them. But I guess we just only share meat according to mine.
Also, another vendor that we do recommend, Cam's Veggie Delights. She is in, what area is that again?
Freeport, is that? Right?
I think no, it's not Freeport. It was Charleville or something.
And you know, it's the funny thing. Every time we post a video, we make sure and we put the address in the video. We also put like a Google tag. And
the first question of B is,
where this is?
I think
if you're using a social media platform, please dig up Loon. When pages are tagged, you can click on it and get all the information. We're not obligated to give you all
think,
of that information.
No, but I think that's what the ebook is for. Yeah,
that's
going to
you guys know me, and you guys know I do content in every imaginable, right? Whether it's a news article, radio, what it doesn't matter what I do. Audio, visual, written, there's somebody that will be like, hey, what is this? And the question is, I'm like, yo, imagine you comment on a, like, I have a video. Hey, here's how to open the PayPal account. And the first question would be is, okay, so how do I get started?
Go to PayPal.
And you're like, the video.
Wait. They might ask you, I ain't switching the interview, but they might ask you, how you feel about that? Like when you put all this effort and you make sure it's very like informative and to the point, when somebody asks you these questions, how you just feel?
So the feeling is, and I just want to just, hey, sense, receive it, Well, but I've just gotten to the point where like now I'm very tactful, and I will ask you questions and you will know that I'm making, like, you will know that, I don't want to say I'm calling you an idiot, but, like, you will know.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, so, okay, perfect example, right? Because, again, it happens on all my content.
Right.
So I'll have a video saying, hey, here's how to open a PayPal account. I know how people think already, so I cover my bases. I cover the content in the video itself. I show the steps. I visually show the steps. Mm-hmm. I will then write out the exact steps. So then when they ask, how do I get started? I'd be like,
I'll be like, wait, is it that you didn't understand the video or the caption in terms of that? And then they'll be like, oh, okay, let me watch the video.
Yeah, so we have to appeal to everyone's learning curve. And I think it comes down to sheer laziness.
Yeah.
You and see something you like, and then your brain blanks out everything else. Yeah. It's like, oh, I just see this phone.
Reaching out and commenting is more work than you just reading the caption or watching the video. So it's not even like the laziness. It doesn't even make sense because you took more effort to ask your question when you could have just watched the video or read the caption.
Yeah.
Worse if it's Facebook and you're like, click on the link for more information. Did you click on the link? Did you watch the video? Did you read the caption? No.
Did you go searching for yourself before you ask a question?
I mean, I think we've gotten pretty numb to that because, yes, we have over 50,000 on Instagram, but we built our following on Facebook, right? And we have over 70,000 on Facebook. And
Facebook has been popping for
years. We always hear people say that Facebook dead and stuff like that.
No, it's not.
I think, I guess it's not like the new hip thing. You know what I mean? Facebook. It's been around.
But we see again, people tend to make comments with their own bias because the number one social media platform by far in the Caribbean, in every Caribbean country, is still Facebook.
Yes.
Facebook in each Caribbean country still doubles the next best social media platform.
Mm-hmm.
The number one used platform overall is Google, right? So imagine when we Google things, 90% of the results is links to a website. Right? Links to a website, links to a YouTube video. Also, if you have a podcast show up on Google search results as well. And also, all of the images that show up in a Google search are coming from websites. So if you don't have a website, you've already disqualified yourself from the number one platform that everybody uses in the entire Caribbean and also worldwide, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have a YouTube channel, again, second largest platform that everybody uses. And again, image search is a big thing. And if you don't have a website to host your images, you're missing out on the number one way that everybody in each Caribbean island, these are the platforms that they use.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they use TikTok, but TikTok, what happens on TikTok stays on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they use Instagram, but what happens on Instagram stays on Instagram, right? And the numbers for TikTok and Instagram are dwarfed by what people do on Google and what people do on Facebook, right? So those are two very big things.
Yeah.
So we're just about, you know, we've hit our hour mark. This has been a very insightful, very fun interview. Listen to me. Everybody on this thing talking about, I'm nervous. It's the first time. None of y'all nervous, man. None of y'all. You did great.
Yeah,
we
talk about possibilities, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Exactly.
I would just say Karen makes it very easy for you to feel relaxed and warm up. You're very hospitable. Entertaining, very animated.
Thank you.
Slash. anybody who watches Karen content would know where that slash is coming from. So,
We need a marketing coordinator / lawyer. So where can the people... Actually, we have a call coming in. Hold on 1 second. Caller, good afternoon. Caller, good afternoon. You're live on Digital World. Oh, I think we lost him. We lost the caller. All right, no worries. Yes, all right, so where can the people... Caller, if you are here, please give us a call back. The number is 627-3223 or 625-2257, all right? All right, yeah, where can the Digital World family find Rendalina?
So I'll tell you all the platforms
that
we are on, and then Renda will give you the handles, right? So we are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We are also on Twitter. Yeah, so...
We're on all major social media platforms. We may not have big numbers on all, but we try to be everywhere, right? And Rendalina Reviews, that is it. It might have our underscore, but it's Rendalina.
Spell out Rendalina for the people that might not.
So it's... our ship name, which is Rendell and Melina, right? So it's Rendelina Reviews.
Yeah. Right, so my name is Rendell and this is Melina. This is not Rendelina.
Yes,
this is Melina. Right?
Rendelina, we're eating it. We're down the road
enough. Yeah.
It does sound like a female name, though, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. I could see it. I could see it. But no, listen, this has been great. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy, busy schedule. I know right now, well, it's always your season because Trini's always eating. Trini's always eating, so it's always your season. So thank you for taking some time out to come and talk to us. And again, I hope if everybody who has been listening, whether you are here in Trinidad and Tobago or you're abroad, and again, you're looking to fly in for Carnival, you're going to be coming soon, check out all those places that they have spoken about. And I'm sure if you go on Rendelina Reviews, you're going to be able to see a lot of those videos that they have been talking about those establishments. All right, so thank you guys, and you know we have more to talk about the next time because we got to bring you guys back in at some time soon.
Definitely the next time. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks,
and Maya, great job.
Thank you. That ebook needs to be coming soon.
Let's see how I get quiet.
I think she needs Maya needs to do a list of the top 10 things that are. Tourist or a visitor would like to see from Trinidad content creators.
Okay.
Yeah, you hear that, Maya?
I don't follow Maya.
Maya, what's your handles, Maya?
Okay, so my YouTube channel is called Maya's Mission.
Hey.
So M-A-Y-A apostrophe S and then Mission, M-I-S-S-I-O-N. And that's the same name for my TikTok and then Instagram. It's just Maya. M-A-Y-A-X-X-O-O _.
Whoa, okay.
I made that when I was like 12.
Two kisses. I take a change name. I feel like you could
change you could change it. You could make it easier. But we'll talk about it afterwards. But that's good. Maya's Mission, everybody. So okay, nice. Maya's my co-host for the day. Jinjin coming in. Jinjin came. And because we have a packed house, Jinjin's like, all right, I'll check you back in a few minutes. But don't worry, Jinjin's going to be here it's 2:15 already. Jinjin's going to be coming in just now. Folks, Rendelina, thank you for taking the time. Everybody on Freedom 106.5, this is the Digital World that happens every single Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with more Digital World.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
And we are back inside the Digital World with myself, Karen Rose, and my co-host for the day,
Maya Noel.
How are you doing? We just came off a really, really good interview with the dynamic couple, Rendell and Melina, and they are food vloggers who have been capturing the culinary experiences of Trinidad and Tobago, and they've done an amazing job. Maya, what did you think about them?
It was really nice to meet them. I didn't even think about food vloggers in Trinidad. Like you said, food is very important, especially from a tourist perspective. So it was really nice to give them that idea that, you know, you should have another way for foreigners to access these different restaurants. Because even today, like it's our cousin's birthday today, and we don't know where we want to go to eat.
So if there's
something that was like, okay, if you want a brunch spot or you want a nice place for like a dinner in the evening, here's a list of the places you can go. So it was really nice to meet with them.
Yeah. We don't have, like, the most that happens is you'll have independent food vloggers. Yes, they're chronicling, you know, all of the places that they're going and they're reviewing it and whatnot. But it's also not search friendly, right? So you can't go on social media and type in, you know, what you're feeling for and get back, like, the exact answers and whatnot. So, yeah, being able to have a product like a digital ebook from food vloggers that we trust and that we like, and kind of breaking out all of their, because again, they're going to be visiting places that a lot of us have never heard about. Mm-hmm. And that's also what they focus on. They focus on the hole in the walls, the places that, you know, ain't nobody know about, right? And they do content on that. So that is great. And it just goes to show, like, the food tourism in Trinidad needs to be on a bigger, bigger stage. Yeah. The food is amazing here, right? The food is absolutely amazing. We got to go and try the gourmet doubles, the meat doubles. We got to go and try. Got to go and try. That ham doubles, you know, that caught my attention. I want to go and try. Again, there's so many things that we got to try. What do you feel like eating today?
I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start, but anything.
All right, we're gonna probably link up Rendelina afterwards and see, you know, what's good on that side. So Maya, what's your plans for this evening?
This evening, I'm going to the Mashell concert.
Hey.
Afro Beats. I'm so excited because I listen to a lot of those artists.
Who are you excited to see?
I don't know what to say his name. Probably Rima?
Yeah, Rima, yeah.
Him? Because actually on my Spotify,
yeah,
I think, I forget which song, but it was like my number one song for the year that was played like thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And Wizkid too. So
hey.
I'm very excited for that.
You know, there's been a big debate as to, you know, who is the king of Afrobeats. Is it Wizkid or is it Burna? You know, where do you fall into that conversation?
Honestly, based on my playlist, probably Wizkid. I've been listening to him for a long time. So
a lot of people have been saying that Wizkid is the face of Afrobeats.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, I have to listen to more Wizkid because when I think as I've started to listen to a lot more Afrobeats over the last 2 years, I've listened to a lot of Burna. Like, it just so happened that a lot of the Afrobeats I've listened to have come from Burna. Some of my favorite songs come from Burna. And I have to go back. Now, it could be that when I'm listening to mixes, I could be very well enjoying Wizkid and just never knew it was Wizkid, right? But a lot of the people who love Wizkid have been listening to Wizkid for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
I will say that. And for me, I've just started within the last 2 years. So I got in because of Burna, and I've listened to a lot more of his stuff than I have Wizkid.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just play mixes, and half the time I don't even know who is actually singing in the mixes, but it sounds good, right? So I'm listening,
yeah.
You know, so I'm excited to see Wizkid and listen, because I know what's going to happen. We're going to go tonight, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be there like, oh, he sang this song. Oh.
Their voices are so different, though. You can tell.
No, I'm not saying in respect to Burna or whatever, right?
Oh.
But because I'm listening to mixes and I'm not... So when I work, the mix is playing in the background.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not watching who it is. I'm never watching the mix. It's just a mix... Or it could be a DJ just running a DJ mix on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not looking for who is singing. I'm just having it playing in the background while I work. So I'm thinking that, you know, as I hear Wizkid tonight, I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of songs where I'm like, oh, I didn't know he sang this.
Yeah.
And it's going to click and I'll have
He's
a
had a lot of collaborations too.
Yeah.
So I think that's why he's more well known. Like sometimes, like what song is it? There was like a Drake song where it was just his vocals in the back. And then you look at it and I was like, oh, it says Wizkid. I didn't even know he was in this.
Mm.
So he's in like so many different, he's also working with Skepta.
Right.
He did a song with Skepta, who's a British rapper. So he's been working with artists from everywhere. So I think that's what has helped with his exposure.
Right.
I hear most of his music.
Right.
Yeah.
Wizkid, I'm excited for Wizkid. Rema, I am excited for Rema as well. I'm excited for Rema. Rema has some big tunes. Like I just so everybody knows Calm Down, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's if you're not big on Afrobeats, I'm sure you probably would have heard Calm Down of all Calm. I heard Woman from Rema the other day, and I was like, this is a whole vibe. And then there was I'm gonna butcher the name.
Oh, the song that I had most played on was Bounce. I think it's called Bounce.
From Rema?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't heard that song.
Yeah, I just like the beats that he uses.
Yeah.
I really like it. And you know, he's my age, he's 22.
He looks it. He looks it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think when I watched the video for Woman, no, Dumebi.
Yeah.
Dumebi's big. Dumebi, like, I was like, this guy's in, he's in high school.
Yeah, that was like,
because that's like 4 years.
Ago.
Yeah, three, four years ago.
Years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he looked like a baby. He looked like a baby in that video. So that's another really, really big song. And then we got Aya Star.
Yeah, I think I only know like two songs from her, but it's the same one over and over and over again.
Aya Star is one of those people where TikTok has helped her blow mm-hmm. the hell up, because her trending sounds for Bloody Samaritan.
Yeah,
I felt like that's all I heard last year.
And she's in her 20s too. I think
she's like
20 young. Or 21.
Yeah, she's young. She's young. Bloody Samaritan. That song that became a viral trending TikTok sound, and it's so crazy. how the digital age works today. Mm-hmm. You have artists who have been pumping out music and they might not have gotten the traction that they've wanted. And because of TikTok, a piece
blowing up now,
a re-edited version of it goes viral. And then all of a sudden, your entire catalog blows up with it. You know? How you feel about TikTok as a content creator? How you feeling about TikTok?
Well, the funny thing is my focus has been on YouTube. So I got TikTok. It's only been a year since I had TikTok, actually. I got TikTok last March. I was one of those people that were like, oh, I'm never going to download TikTok. Everyone's going to get addicted to their phones. They're going to stay on TikTok forever. So I was like, I knew I didn't want to constantly scroll on my phone because they already mm-hmm. had Instagram Reels. And I was like, I already catch myself, you know, constantly scrolling on Reels. I'm like, I'm not going to get TikTok. So I started to make a TikTok last year. I just did them for fun. It would be like kind of like vlogs, not even really vlogs, just mm-hmm. like my brand, Maya's Mission. Mm-hmm. It's more about personal development, like empowerment, motivation, talking about entrepreneurship, like yeah. the mindset behind that. So I make content like that. So one of the videos I made, well, first I was getting upset, which this is something a lot of content creators experience, where you feel like you're putting in a lot of hard work mm-hmm. and, you know, you may be doing it for a specific target audience, and your content that you make that may have nothing to do with that is what blows up. So yeah. my first TikTok that blew up, but it was like, it's at 60,000 views now, right? That was a lot for me because yeah. I have like 800 followers.
Right.
It was just a transition video of like me without makeup, and then I put my makeup on. Right. Literally 3 seconds, it has 60,000 views. And I was like, what? But it actually helped me because it got more people to my page, because in my bio, I have my YouTube link. So I had some people that would find me on TikTok, then go to my YouTube channel.
Right.
Or they're on my YouTube channel and I mention my TikTok, they go to my TikTok.
Right.
So it's actually been helping me a lot. I now have three trending videos,
yeah.
and a lot of them actually pertain to my YouTube channel now. So one of them was just the sound that said, it was like, the sound was the fear of looking stupid is holding you back, or something like that. And I said, like in quotes, when someone asks me, how do I make videos as a shy person?
Right.
Because you wouldn't guess, but I'm actually very shy. So YouTube and making content has helped me a lot. So.
Yeah.
You know, doing that, TikTok has actually been a tool for my YouTube channel and just gaining exposure and actually like finding what I wanted to do and who I wanted to speak to. So I now know it's like young adults, like 18 to like 34 or something, you know,
right.
and I'm going to get more specific on that. But TikTok has definitely been a tool. But like as a user, I try not to be on it too much because I will be on there for hours.
Right.
I put a timer on there. It's like if I'm on there for more than 30 minutes, It literally alerts me to get off of it.
Right.
But as a content creator, I think it's good because more people are able to go viral. But also with that, I don't know, people feel like it's still saturated and things like that. But it's been a great tool for me, so I like TikTok.
It's definitely a great tool to build the awareness for your brand. How you create content on TikTok is very different, and it forces you to get creative with how you bring about that message. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think there's a lot of pros to TikTok, you know. But tell us about Maya's Mission. How did you get started with Maya's Mission?
So that's a funny story. So I've always been the friend that gives people advice, like whether it's life advice, or I always knew I wanted to study business. So mm-hmm. I got my bachelor's in business administration with a concentration in economics. So I've always been into financial literacy. So over quarantine, you know, everybody had a lot of free time. So I was like, you know what? Everyone keeps telling me to make a YouTube channel, so I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. But it actually took me, like the thing with me, I overanalyze a lot of things. I did like 6 months of research. So that's mm-hmm. how I became familiar with SEO and using extensions to help me like get the marketing down.
Right.
So all of that, like the back end stuff for YouTube is done. It's just, you know, the organic part of getting people there.
Right.
So I made a video about how I wash my curly hair because I have very curly hair and a lot of people ask me about that. But then with me, I was like, you know, on YouTube, all the black women that I see on there, they're only getting traction because of either hair or beauty. And I knew that I wanted to be known for something more than just, you know, my hair or do my makeup.
Right.
Because there's more important things. So I always felt the need to like share the advice that I give my friends. So the first video that I have on YouTube that got a lot of views, it's at like 30,000 views right now, was it's called How to Stop Being Shy, and I give like 5 tips. But I think people liked it because I was being real about it, and it wasn't like, you know, like a quick scheme. I was like realistic. I'm like, you know, this took me, it took me a few years, but this is what's working for me. So even now, even I got a comment since yesterday, and that video is about 2 years old now, of people saying, oh my gosh, this video changed my life. And I was like, what? So it has like 400 comments of people telling me that I changed their life. Or I had a person that was literally writing me paragraphs and paragraphs and saying that God led me to this video, and because of you, I am no longer as shy as I used to be. And I was like, what? So after that video, it really hit me like, I want to create content. Even as a shy person, it was hard, but I literally made a video on how I'm working through that. So with that, it made me feel better about myself because I was helping other people. So I started to make more videos like how I became confident, things that you can do, but I'm also like realistic about it. I always say, you know, I'm in this journey with you, not like I figured this out, you copy exactly what I'm doing. So it'd be videos like that. And then I started to gear it more towards like, I call it like an entrepreneurship mindset. Because I mean, when you're creating content, you're technically like, you can become an entrepreneur.
You're
especially
a content entrepreneur. That's if a, you, that's
you
a know,
yeah, if you register as a business later, which I want to get into later, if you have products, you know, you might sell merchandise. All of those different things, you're doing the same thing. So I started making videos. I started making videos about that. So that's my YouTube channel. It's been, I mean, with school, I'm graduated now, so I have more time. So before I start my job in the summer, I want to focus on creating content, getting a blog ready about the domain. And I have a mentor that's going to help me like create the website. But, you know, that's actually taking a lot longer. So I will probably do it myself. But I think YouTube is a great way to express yourself. And like you said, it's a search engine. So I'm able to do a lot of different things on there. I have YouTube Shorts. I have longer videos. And once I have a website, you know, that's going to be easier to find me. And eventually, I would like to be able to, you know, kind of do like what you're doing, have multiple ways to distribute the content, have a book, do like keynote speaking on whether it's on like financial literacy. That's the main thing I want it to focus on eventually, just within that like personal development world. Since I'm going to be working in finance, I'll be more of like a credible person. That's what I see myself doing, helping people get to like having a better mindset. And, you know, I also want it to be targeted towards like Black people too, because, you know, even in Trinidad, there's certain areas where I'm like, you know, I wish I could tell my family that there's certain things they can do to, you know, whether it's have more streams of income or different ways to like use the skills that they already have. Because, you know, money gives you a lot of opportunities. It gives you a lot of options. So that's my main thing. And the reason that I wanted to get into the world of like finance is because my dad. So my dad, you know, both my parents grew up in Trinidad. My dad was an aerospace engineer. He worked with NASA. You know, he's always been my inspiration. And then he got a work visa, moved my family, my mom, my sisters to America. And, you know, I was born like 2 years later, so I don't have an accent. But he inspired me because then he became an entrepreneur. First, he was doing music. He's always had a love of music, playing the drums. But, you know, as a lot of musicians may know, if you're not really getting results from that immediately, you kind of, you know, you might have to have, you know, like a day job while you're doing that. So my dad was making good money as an aerospace engineer, but, you know, music was his passion. So in 2008 in America, we had a recession. You know, the government, you know, something happened with the housing crisis and things like that. So, you know, we had a really big house, and I watched my parents, they had to like sell the house, you know, a lot of financial hardship. And I watched that, and I always wondered like, well, why can't we stay in the big house? And I was asked, because I was like, hey, I was like, why can't we stay in the big house? You know, my parents were trying to explain it to me. I didn't understand. So I saw my dad basically have all of this money, lose that money, and, you know, it inspired him to just, you know, I might as well do my music, you know, while I have to go back to my job. So first he quit his job because he was doing the music. Then he had to go back because he wasn't making enough money. But, you know, he was saying, you know, like, this is not fulfilling me. So he made a lot of sacrifices, and now he's an entrepreneur. He's making almost, no, he's making like a little bit even more than what he was making,
what he's making from his job
as an engineer, because now he's doing consulting. So he's taking music, he's literally going to universities and businesses and doing team building and consulting using music as the catalyst for each of these sessions.
That is what we're talking about.
And
right
so
there.
That inspired me to want not only to become an entrepreneur, but to also get into the space of like following your dreams, actually following your dreams.
Right.
And then also learning about finances. You know, even now, like, you know, you're making more money. Now tell me that you're making more money. Are you going to put this in a specific account? Are you going to talk to a financial advisor so you're putting this in the right place? And me, as a 22-year-old, telling my dad, you know, certain things he should do with his savings. So that's really nice. And another reason he's an inspiration, he has a book. I'm going to give the plug.
Yeah, plug
it. It's called Creating Joy and Harmony by Richard Noel. Mm-hmm. It's on Amazon. It's on his website. You can find it at different bookstores. And I think we're still working on getting it internationally, but obviously you can get it on Amazon as well. But it's called Creating Joy and Harmony by Richard Noel. And it's literally about how he's always a very positive person.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he's my inspiration. He's a very positive person. You know, he came to America, this guy with a Trinidad accent. You know, a lot of people always ask him, like, oh, where are you from? How are you so happy? How are you so
positive?
You're
from Jamaica?
Yeah, they've literally said that because when he had dreads, they asked if he was Jamaican. He was like, no, I'm from Trinidad.
Yeah.
So the story is really nice. It's a very easy read. It's like 100 pages and it's different chapters talking about, it's like a personal development book too.
Yeah.
Different things you can do within yourself to create like a happy and fulfilling life. And he definitely lives that. So that's
what
I'm doing.
Shout out to Uncle Rich.
Yes. So yeah.
Maya, so the first video that you had that blew up is your video on how to create content as someone who is shy, putting yourself out there, right? So
yeah.
We have a few minutes left, and one of the biggest roadblocks, ironically, one of the biggest roadblocks as to why people don't create content is because they're shy. So give us, I know you have five, give us three of your top pointers as to how to not be shy when putting yourself out there.
I think the first, you know, that video is like 2 years old, but it wasn't even just when you're creating content, it's just like as
in
a
general.
Whole.
Okay.
So I think one of the first things I was talking about is obviously the main obstacle is fear. And I had an acronym in there that I always hear from a speaker that I was listening to. I forget his name. Fear stands for false evidence appearing real. So the more I thought about that, I was like, okay, so first you're overanalyzing, you're doing all this research for YouTube for like months. What is holding you back? And I was like, it's fear. Okay, so what fears do you have? I think the main thing was, oh, I'm fearful that I'm going to get hate comments or I'm going to get people that don't like the video and different things like that. And I need to, you know, I need to always think about, am I making the right videos for people? Are they going to like this? And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, if everybody had that mindset, then they wouldn't put anything out there. You would not put any content out there. Your favorite YouTuber, if they had the mindset that you know, they're so focused on they're going to be disliked, then they wouldn't put their content out
there.
Because the thing with the internet is you're exposing yourself. So there's always going to be some person that has something to say. I've even experienced it myself. Mm-hmm. Like I'll get dislikes on a completely positive video where I'm trying to help people and somebody will say something. And there was a video I did on, what was it? It was like finding scholarships as a college student. And I actually had someone comment, you're only getting scholarships because you're black and it's handed to you. And I was like, what? that has nothing to do with anything. I have to work harder to get things like that. So I just had a lot of fears. And so what I talk about in that video is just keep thinking about what that acronym means.
Yeah.
It is false evidence that is appearing real. So a lot of the things that you are thinking about, it's not going to be a big deal. Like you're going to get over it. And also I was talking about like body language, the way you speak, just thinking about more of the mindset behind it. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the times, you know, you don't want to say anything. Like an example I gave was like, let's say you're in school and you know what the answer is, but you don't want to raise your hand because you're afraid that you're going to be wrong.
Right.
But the whole time you knew the right answer, it's like you're holding yourself back. So if you add that to different scenarios in your life, you'll realize like it's just fear holding me back. Body language. If like, let's say, you know, this is carnival right now. If you're trying to meet people and you're sitting there with both of your arms crossed, that's what bodyguards do. My dad always told me that. Bodyguards, they do that. It's you're closing yourself off for body language. Or if you're slouching, you're looking down. Our phones, everyone's walking on their phones. First of all, you're going to run into somebody. But second, it's showing like I'm not paying attention. So I was talking about different studies. So if you walk into a room and your head's down, you're holding your phone, people are less inclined to talk to you. But if you walk in, shoulders up, and you're looking at people, you're trying to talk, it's kind of like you're forcing yourself without forcing yourself to be someone that is like approachable.
Right.
So I talked about body language, the mindset about, you know, the fears, and I also say like fake it till you make it. So sometimes like I like to have ideas of what I would talk to someone about.
Right.
Like, what's your occupation or what do you like to do for fun? Something like that, instead of just saying hi and then not saying anything else.
Right, right.
So yeah, so when it comes to content, it's really the mindset that you have behind it and thinking about, okay, what am I afraid to accomplish? And I also think, like, I don't know, being on a camera actually kind of helped me comes to speaking in person.
Okay.
So now, like, I had to do, well, so in 2020, I had to do college online. You know, everyone's doing Zoom interviews and stuff. It helped me build up my conversation skills.
Right.
So then now in person, I'm more able to do that. Like, if you asked me probably, like, 2 years ago if I would be on a radio show, I would be like, no. I would be like, no.
You would have turned this one down.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, no. And it'd be because I'm scared or something like that. But you really just have to fake it till you make it. Go outside your comfort zone. And whether it's for making content or if it's in person, those are, like, the main things that you can do to really put yourself out there.
That is what we're talking about. This is Maya Noel. Maya, it's our 3 o'clock hour, so please let the Freedom family know where they can find you online.
So my YouTube channel is called Maya's Mission, and it's M-A-Y-A and then apostrophe S, Mission, M-I-S-S-I-O-N. And then my Instagram is M-A-Y-A XXOO underscore. And my TikTok is also the same as my YouTube channel, Maya's Mission.
That is what we're talking about. I want to thank you for coming on the show with me today. I know you were going to be a little bit nervous, but listen, it did not show whatsoever.
Thank you.
And it was fun. I think it was pretty dope to be able to, you know, you come down and co-host the show.
Thank you for letting me on. I never would have imagined that I'd be on a radio show.
Yeah, you were just coming for the beach and doubles, eh?
Yeah.
Listen, man, every single Friday from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., the Freedom 106.5 radio station turns into the digital world with myself, Karen Rose, and Janine Edwards. So that is it from me this week. If you want to learn more about building your digital presence, monetizing your platforms, marketing, and a whole lot more, you guys can find me at Keron Rose, K-E-R-O-N-R-O-S-E, on all platforms. That's LinkedIn, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. You can also go to KeronRose.com. You guys can sign up for the email list. And again, a lot of my content is there as well. And yeah, I will help you, again, bring your business online, learn how to grow your platforms and monetize those platforms as well. It's Carnival Friday, folks. I know everybody is at a fete right now, or they probably just came home. They're resting. They're taking a eat of food. And inside, going back outside for this evening. This evening is the big concert, Masho Montano's one show. That is going to be amazing. I'm going to be there. So if you are in the diamond section, you know, come and say wagwan. When I'm in the VIP, again, if you see me, say hello. Maya's gonna be there as well, so you guys feel free to say what up to Maya. All right, so that is it from us today, folks. Have yourself a wonderful Carnival weekend. I will see you guys next week, Friday, on the Digital World.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.